Hey guys, welcome to the On the Rocks podcast with me, your host, Vanessa Rock. Today I'm recording at the KCR College Radio production studio. So I have some exciting changes coming to the podcast, and one of those is that I joined the student radio at San Diego State. So I have production studio time where I can record so there's better audio quality, and also I can have guests come in and also have really good quality with their microphones and all of that. So I'm so excited. When I find out where the podcast will be available through State, I will let you guys know so you'll have other options on where to listen. But as for now, this is my first time in the studio, so it's really cool, and I feel super professional, like I have a real big girl podcast. But yeah, so today I'm joined in studio with my roommate and one of my bestest friends, Kelsey. So go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is Kelsey. I'm super excited to be here and to be a part of today's podcast. I'm hoping that, you know, it brings you all the joy that you're looking to find as you're listening through your headphones or in your car or wherever you are. While you're listening, I'm just really excited.
Okay. So I brought her along with me. This morning we went to a cycle class. We went to Cycle Bar.
Yes.
And we took a class together.
Kicked
and
our butt.
Heck yeah. And then we got some coffee. Or Kelsey got coffee. I got tea. I'm not a coffee.
To be brought back to life. So coffee is the cure, my opinion.
I got a muffin. A gluten, full of gluten muffin.
I can't have gluten, so that's just the running joke of my life. But
I've been trying to cut it out. I've been trying to do like less gluten, less dairy, but every time I buy something when I'm out, it has gluten and dairy for sure.
Yeah, first world problems.
Okay, so go ahead and introduce yourself, Kelsey. Tell us about you. I want to know.
Yeah, so my name's Kelsey. I am 24. I was born in Colorado. I grew up in a town called Aurora, but it's right next to a town called Parker. So usually when people ask me, I say I'm from Parker because Aurora kind of has a bad name. I moved out to San Diego 7 years ago, graduated high school 2013, graduated college in 2018, which is wild. That's like almost 2 years ago.
Wow. That's crazy that you've been here for 7 years. Every time you say that, I'm like, that's wild.
It's weird. Like I haven't lived under my parents' roof or control in 7 years.
Yeah, you're like a full grown adult.
I'm a grown woman.
Okay.
Went to college at San Diego Christian College, and my major was biblical studies with an emphasis of intercultural relations. I did a lot of work in different countries with orphan care advocacy. I went down to Mexico all throughout my 4 years of college and worked at an orphanage, sponsored two kiddos, and then when I graduated, I got a job at a nonprofit that gives kids in the foster care system court-appointed advocates who are also volunteers. So I supervise the volunteers and the cases that they're assigned to. And then I also work in a position as a case liaison. So every Friday, I'm in the courtroom, the dependency courtroom, with the attorneys and the judges and the social workers, running case notes as a case manager, and I also manage like 25 of my own cases. But I love it, and it gives me a lot of purpose in my life. So that's a little bit about me.
I love that. I love when you talk about the purpose you feel, because I feel like that's something that you hold very close to your heart, is like finding purpose and following that in everything you do. So since I've known Kelsey, I think she's been like just such a passionate person and everything. And I think it's interesting when you talk about it. Like every time we're in an Uber, you know, they ask us, you know, what you do. And you're like, this is what I do. And it's so cool. Yeah. I want to get to the point in my life where I like have something that I'm passionate about, like that I get to do every day. So I admire you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's takes a lot, but I really never think about it. It's just something I love doing. I couldn't imagine not.
So I remember when you first started, it was a lot heavier on you than it is now.
Yeah.
Would you say?
Yeah. I mean, working with cases, you know, the foster care system in any state, and I mean, in our country, is just really sad. Sometimes it works, most times it doesn't, but you know, the hope is that I'm doing something to help along with the people that I work with, and I get to see success stories of these kids coming out of really corrupt lives and, you know, furthering their futures. And then sometimes there's other days where things go wrong, but you know, at the end of the day, it's not my control, and I can only be a vessel for so many things, so I just put myself in a position where I can be a light. So
I love that.
It's kind of my life motto, be
so a light. Where did you go to college? Did you say that?
Yeah, I went to San Diego Christian College. It's a small little dinky college in Santee, which, if you aren't familiar with San Diego, is basically like the Kentucky of San Diego. Like, most people have no idea what I'm talking about. It's a small little private Christian college. It is accredited. I do have my bachelor's.
Yeah.
But I actually met my boyfriend there. So that was fun, being able to go to a school and build a relationship out of that and then get my bachelor's and then actually get a job in the field that I'm passionate about right after college. I feel like statistically that doesn't happen, but I feel very like humbled by the fact that it did. So.
Yeah, I love that.
And I get to stay in San Diego, so.
No, it's the best.
Who wouldn't love that?
And you're at, like, a better part of San Diego than Santee.
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have upgraded. I have a view of the ocean from my bedroom window, so I can't complain.
I mean, like, they say we pay for our weather here, and I pay for my view out of my window. I have to turn really hard to see the ocean, but, like, I can kind of see it. Yeah. You have a better view than I do.
Yeah, you can just come into my room if you want a full glimpse.
Sometimes when the sunset's like setting, I come into her room and I'm like...
Guys, it is beautiful. It's like a full-on like you're sitting on the beach, but instead I'm just like in my room. It's pretty nice. And I don't even
we love
to leave
that.
My house.
I never want to move. I never... Like, I've decided that I want to stay in that area at least if I can't stay in the apartment. Because, yeah. I mean, it's going to get old. We're going
to
get
tired of it.
I told
you, we're going to have a custody battle about who gets to keep that place when the time comes.
I know. I just don't want to think about it. I remember one time we went and we got Juneshine together and we had this conversation about, like, who's going to keep the apartment. And it was just, it's difficult. I can't think about it.
No, separation anxiety is real.
Okay, so I feel like it's so weird being in the studio. I've never done something like this is just crazy.
Well, this is my first time, so
normally I'd have my microphone in my living room and my laptop and I'd be sitting. And
you have evolved.
I know, and I feel like it's less personal though because we're sitting and staring at each other across this like a whole bunch of microphones.
And you don't like staring at me?
I'm just kidding. Today in the podcast, we're going to start with a segment. So I noticed last episode, I didn't do any segments, but I was just on a tangent. Like I was on one and I want to kind of do at least one or two of the segments I have. So I have two segments. One is I'll drink to that, where we talk about our favorite drinks, our 21st birthdays and all of that. And then the next one is I'll call you later, which is about dating. But today we're just going to do I'll drink to that. So and I'll drink to that. We talk about, like I said, like our favorite drinks and our relationship with alcohol. So we'll start off by sharing a little bit of my weekend recap. And then we'll get into like the things we do.
Ooh, run it.
Okay. So this weekend I went and I had a very fun weekend. I went out for a drink on Friday, ended up staying out till 2 a.m., you know. Casual. It was fun. And then I've worked every morning, so
I don't really know how to rally.
I don't know. You know, every time I don't want to rally and I want to call off work, I think about something my mom said to me when I was starting college. She said when she was in college, she would go out to like 4 a.m. and wake up for a 6 a.m. shift. And if I couldn't do that, then I had some serious work to do. Because I remember I had a hangover one day and I called her and she said that to me. She was like, Vanessa, I could rally when I was your age. What's your problem? And I was like, Mom, that's peer pressure. So now every time I think about not going to work.
You are your mother's daughter.
Truly. Thank you, Rhonda, for your guidance in life.
We love that.
Perpetuating my drinking habits. Okay, so... I went to a concert the next day. So I went with my friend Marissa. She was on the podcast, Spoonful of San Diego. We went and we had such a fun night. We went to the House of Blues and we got to go see Logan Mize, who's a country singer. And I actually got the tickets through the student radio that I'm a part of. So that was really cool. And it was just like such a fun experience. I think like sometimes it's fun to switch it up and do something you wouldn't normally do. Like I don't normally go to like a concert on a Saturday. I don't know. It's kind of like those are special moments.
Yeah, those are like things you have to like have planned in advance.
Totally.
I guess if you get the shot to do it, you just go for it.
No, it was so fun. And we're going to a concert soon.
I'm so excited.
March 7th.
right?
Yeah.
The first weekend of March.
Yeah. We're going to Jordan Davis.
Jordan Davis.
Me, you, and Marissa. It's going to be a hoot, a holler. Oh, I can't.
I can't wait.
You have an outfit picked out already. I have to go shopping.
Heck yeah, I plan those things far in advance. You know me and my clothes.
I wish I did. Okay, so let's talk about our favorite drinks. So, okay. Kelsey, tell me about you. What do you drink? What's your thing?
I feel like I'm not like a froofy cocktail, like love that kind of thing girl. But
it's also like 12 a.m. when we're recording this right now.
True.
And it's so funny to talk about drinking when you're like, it's Monday. Like, oh my God.
Seriously,
okay.
I mean, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, right? Okay. Well, I can't have gluten. So that kind of like puts me in a position where I can't have a whole lot of alcohol, but I can have vodka if it's Tito's. So if I'm out at the bar, and I will not do shots. I'll talk about that later, but shots are not my friend. I don't know if they're anyone's friend, but we definitely don't get along. So I'll have a Dirty Shirley, which is literally like the most, I don't know. It's literally grenadine, Sprite, and vodka, but it doesn't taste like alcohol. So I can literally drink like 5 of them, which is not okay. But that would probably be my drink of choice in a bar.
Okay.
I really like hard kombucha, which is like June Shine, which me and Vanessa have a very good relationship with.
I love June Shine.
And then I also really like hard ciders. I don't know. What is it called? The hard apple ciders. Oh, Angry Orchards. Yeah. Those are literally like apple juice. And I could probably, and I'm sure I have, had like 5 in one sitting because they're just so good. Oh, and I also love wine, like dessert wine though, like Moscato,
like the cupcake wine, right?
Yeah, that's the brand. Yeah, Pinot Gris. Just like white wines are my go-to because red wines just make me feel like an old woman, and I haven't hit that stage of life yet. So
I just tried red wine the other day, and did I tell you about this experience? My first experience with red wine.
Oh yeah.
It was so good.
Like, really?
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I know there's like sweet wines that are like red wines.
Yeah.
But I heard that like you age with wine. So like,
I've heard that too.
Older women, like my mom, who's like in her 50s, enjoys a glass of red wine. But me, who's in my 20s, I feel like I'm just drinking like, I don't know.
So on Fridays, me and Kelsey have a thing that we do. And not every Friday. We haven't done it recently.
Yeah. I think it's time to do it again soon, but.
So I have my longest days on Fridays. It's like the bane of my existence. I have to wake up at 5 a.m. to go to work, and then I always want to go out. For some reason, I come home, I take a nap, and I'm like, all right, it's Friday. My week's over. Like, let's rally. I'm ready. And Kelsey comes home, and she's like, can we, like, hang out? And I'm like, okay, sure. Like, what do you want to do? And she's like, let's go to June Shine, or let's get June Shine. So I've been doing this thing. Or like we would start going to June Shine. We went a couple times, but then we'd have to Uber there, and it was expensive. So after work, I just go and fill up growlers. And June Shine is like hard kombucha. Like it's not like
for any of you hippies out there.
Yeah, it's but it's so good. Like I enjoy like sour tasting alcohol, like a sour beer. I like that kind of taste, and so kombucha is just like where it's at for me, and it gives me the best drunk. Like it's never a bad drunk
it's
on
June
Shine.
Healthy alcohol, I'm telling you. I don't think that it's bad because here's the thing. Kombucha is literally just fermented. So
fermented mushroom, right?
Yeah. So like it's just fermented to the point where it has an alcohol percentage in it, and then they put like different flavors and whatever to make it taste good. And then when you get these flights, you don't even realize that it's going to hit you. And then it does, and you're like, oh, okay, this is really nice.
Yeah, this is really nice. And then we'll go, like, out dancing. We'll go to Moonshine Beach and go dance for a little bit and then go home. And we're home by, like, 11, and it's just such a lovely Friday.
It's so fun, and it's, like, so effortless, too, because we don't really know what we're going to do, but we know that it's going to be a good time.
I do think that it's so fun to have spontaneous nights.
Yeah.
Where you just like do whatever you want and like you don't really have a plan and it just you let it naturally happen. I think those are the best kind of nights.
Totally. Yeah.
So I want to know, Kelsey, I have guests when they come on to my podcast talk about what they did on their 21st birthday. And I want to know, what was your birthday like?
I died. No, just kidding. But actually. Okay, so my 21st birthday was 4 years ago. 3 years ago?
How old are you now? 24?
I'll be 25 in June.
It's like almost
We're
four.
Just going to say 3 or 4. And I lived in a house in college with 5 of my girlfriends. So we had a lot of space. So we had some friends over. We went to Old Town, which is like in San Diego, kind of where they have all the Mexican restaurants and a lot of like Hispanic culture. So we went there because it was Taco Tuesday. And I had had alcohol before my 21st birthday, but never like out where obviously I was legal.
Yeah.
So
it's different.
I had a margarita and I have never had tequila shots until that moment.
Oh my God.
I'm not kidding you. From the time I sat down at dinner to the time we left, I probably had at least 6 shots of tequila. I was drinking it like water. It was like non-faceable. And it's insane that I could actually hold that. And I had a margarita. And there was another girl who was having her 21st, so we took shots together. Like, it was just insane. And no one really seemed to have any reservations on how much I was drinking because they're like, oh, she's 21. So then we went back to my house and got ready, and we went out to PB, which is Pacific Beach, which is like a bar town.
Yeah.
Beach town has a lot of bars. We went to this place called Backyard, which is super ratchet. But at that point, this girl that was there, she's one of my friends at the time, and we were all just hanging out, and my friends wanted me to start drinking water, and she goes, no, she shouldn't drink water. She should keep drinking. So she buys me an AMF, which is an audio smother effer, yeah. You know? And it just, they were giving me water, and she was giving me this drink. And while they weren't looking, she just kept giving it to me, and I was drunk enough to not really know what was going on.
Yeah.
So then I guess at that point I blacked. I puked in the bathroom, and when you throw up in bars, they kick you out. And then from that point on, I don't remember anything. But my sweet, sweet, sweet roommate, bless her heart, took care of me, drove me home. She was completely sober. Drove me home in my car. And I was, like, puking. Sorry, TMI. And I had my Hydro Flask, and there was nowhere else to throw up unless I wanted to throw up on myself.
Yeah.
So, sweet Kelsey, that's her name too, had my Hydro Flask over my mouth as she was driving on the freeway, talking to my other roommate, being like, we're coming home, like, get ready, I need help. As I'm throwing up in my Hydro Flask, and we're on the freeway, and then we get back to the house, and Kelsey and Allie, my other roommate, are like trying to carry me up the stairs. I'm literally full body weight and just laying on the stairs. And then they told me I like resurrected and just walked myself up the stairs and put myself to bed. I woke up the next morning with a trash can next to me, and I literally have no like remembrance of how I had gotten there. But all I know is that I was wearing a t-shirt, I had water, and there was an Advil bottle next to my bed. And I was just so thankful that I had really good friends who took care of me. But I literally got home at 11. So my 21st birthday ended at 11, before midnight. And I think that was the night that I learned that me and tequila should not ever try to intermingle again.
Do you remember my 21st birthday when we went, we were in Pacific Beach. We were trying, it had been a day. So we would have gone to brunch. We all took naps, remember?
Yeah.
And then we went out to Pacific Beach. I wasn't drinking that much.
Like, no, it was like a good level.
Until we're walking from one bar to the other. Oh. Where were we walking from?
We were going from, where were we? Oh, no, it was Shore Club. We just went the other way around. It was Shore Club to Firehouse because...
How did you run into a homeless person?
I don't know, but it was for sure Shore Club because we stayed there for the longest time, and then we transitioned over to Firehouse because Ale House is right across the street from Firehouse. But we just didn't do the boardwalk way. We went the street way.
Got it. We were walking home, and on the way, she like stops, and there's a homeless person. And I'm like,
what? I'm drunk.
Yeah, she's drunk.
When I'm drunk, I do this.
She starts, like, she walks up to this homeless woman, and she just is like, can I pray for you? Which is fine. Like, normally, like, that's fine. And she stops for at least, like, 5 minutes.
Maybe 10.
And she's, like, talking to this homeless woman, and is like,
I think her name was Julia. I really do. Oh my God.
And she like made, oh my God, it was so
Vanessa
funny.
Vanessa was so mad.
So mad just because I was like, okay, there's not much time left in the night. Like, and we're going to have to like, you know, like prioritize going to the bar or praying for this homeless woman. Like, pick one. And so I'm
there
like,
are two different people in the world.
And my personal priority was going to the next bar.
Apparently
and
mine was laying hands on a woman and praying that she would find a job in the morning.
So I think I like got pissed at her or something.
You did. You got so mad. You were like, I can't believe you. And I was like, Vanessa, I was just praying for a homeless lady. We're fine. And you were like, you don't need to do that. And then we were waiting in line and I was like, are you mad at me? And you were like, yeah. And I don't remember what it was, but like you thought that I was yelling at you. And then you told the bouncer, she's yelling at me. And he was like,
I started crying.
You did. And I was like, seriously, why are you crying? And then we made up and it was fine. But like, it was one of those drunk tips that you have with your friends. And then you're like, what the heck?
It was so funny.
It all
funny.
Started with the homeless woman.
Oh, the bouncer looked at us and he was like, are you guys okay? Because like, I had my sash on. I was like in a mini dress and I'm crying. And he's like, I'm not going to let you into this bar if you continuously cry in line right now. And I was like, I'm good. We're good. We're all good.
Everything's fine.
Love that for us. So then we went home and I was home by 11:30.
I would say it was a pretty solid night.
Yeah.
You could remember everything.
Yeah. But I feel like your 21st birthday is where you should black out.
That's what I was just about to say. Like they say you shouldn't remember your 21st birthday, but I don't really know.
I had a good birthday. Okay. So now we're going to transition into what this podcast is going to be about. So this theme of this podcast is about friendship. And we actually sat down and planned what we're going to talk about today because I feel like we had some really important things that we wanted to talk about. We didn't kind of want to miss. So this is the first time I've done that. Normally I sit down, I write like three things I want to talk about and then I just ramble. But as I'm growing through this podcast and learning how to be a better, you know, podcaster, I do want to have more structure. So we're going to talk about some specifics. So since we're going to be talking about friendships, what we're going to talk about is kind of like our relationship and how we've seen each other grow through so much. And also how we've seen each other like also go through each other's friendship. So like Kelsey has seen me go through one of like the hardest like losses of a friendship I've ever had. I've seen Kelsey go through something very similar. And friend breakups are real.
Yeah, they are.
They're real and they're very difficult. And so I think it's interesting to shed light and kind of give some advice as to how we see friendships and how they've grown throughout our lives. Because I think me and Kelsey are at different points in our lives where I'm still in school and she's working. But friendships evolve very steadily throughout your life, but mm-hmm. they can evolve drastically as well. So, you know, when you're in high school, your friendships are so much different than when you're in college. And when you're in college and post-grad, like so much different, and friendships really take a turn. So we're going to be talking about all those things, but let's start with how we met. So Kelsey, I want to hear what like you remember from us meeting.
So I met Vanessa through my boyfriend, Brandel, and they went to high school together. So him and I were like a month into dating and I had a Snapchat and he like posted on his story. Well, it was Vanessa and her friend Megan.
Yeah.
In the photo. And
I was, Megan's a not the real name. Megan's just so we really know. We're going to be referring to this friend. That's going to be a consistent theme throughout this podcast as Megan. And if you know me and you know her, like, no worries.
Just
but that's,
chuckle and then move on.
We're chuckling, moving it on. Okay, go ahead.
Anyways, so I saw a Snapchat of them and I really didn't like think much of it. And when I asked him, like, oh, who are they? It wasn't like a, who are those girls? It was more of just like.
But a little bit.
Yeah, kind of just curiosity. And then he was like, oh, those are my two really close friends. Like, they want to meet you. You'll get to meet them soon. And I was like, okay. So then, you know, I did the basic thing and I Instagram stalked both of them.
Oh, what do you remember seeing on my Instagram?
Well, your pictures were like very aesthetic. And like, you had this theme where it's like, obviously, you have someone take pictures of you and you post them. Like, they're very planned.
Yeah.
But they were all so pretty. And I don't know. I was just intimidated in the sense of like, wow, she's got a really nice feed, which is kind of funny because I'd never met you yet.
And now you're a part of that. You're a part of my decisions on what I post.
So funny. Behind the scenes with Vanessa Rock. Yeah, but then Brandon held a baseball game at UCSD and I met Vanessa and Megan at the game and they were super friendly. Vanessa was on Bumble, like talking about how she found her ex-boyfriend on there. And I thought it was just funny. She was like trying to find all these things to say back to him. And I was like, why don't you say this? So I feel like we hit it off pretty well. Yeah. But whenever I meet people for the first time, I'm always more reserved because I'm trying to like feel it out.
Yeah, you have to know how to play the field.
So I think for like the first couple times that we like spent together, I was more like on the shy side.
Yeah, but that's okay. I mean, everyone is. Like, I think I just tend to open up very quickly and I let everybody know everything about me. I'm just such an open book. Mm-hmm. But I tend to go better with friends who are more reserved.
Yeah.
Because I think if I had someone who was just the same page as me all the time, it would just be, like, clashing.
Yeah. But I definitely didn't feel threatened by either one of you in a sense of, like, they're going to steal my mans. Yeah. Like, it was just like, oh, they're really sweet. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I went to high school with Brandel, so I'm sure maybe one day he'll come on the podcast. I want him to come on. I think it'd be funny. But...
Talk about your high school days.
Yeah. So we weren't really that close of friends in high school at all. Like, I think I knew of him. He was an ASB. He was big. He was popular on campus. I was kind of friends with everyone. I was friends with some of his friends, but, like, we never really intermingled until I moved down to San Diego. So Brandel went to the same school as Kelsey, San Diego Christian, out in Santee. And I lived in that area my first year of college. And I remember, I don't know if I've ever told you about this, Kelsey, but I initially saw Brandel on Bumble. And that's how
no
I knew
he had a Bumble.
You didn't know that? No. Or it was Tinder or something. It was
probably
something.
Probably Tinder. Who knows?
Something like that. And I saw him that he was like only 2 miles away.
That's so funny.
And I was like, oh my God, I went to high school with this kid. Like, what the heck? And so I messaged him on Instagram and I was like, oh my God, I just saw you on this. And he was like, where do you live? Like, how did you see me?
That's funny.
And then we ended up going bowling with that one friend that we're talking about and one of his friends. We went bowling and then from there, just like a nice friendship blossomed.
That sounds
odd.
That's how me and Vanessa met. And then.
Yeah, I love that. I love that we can like remember that.
I know. And then I needed a place to live. They were moving out. So it was like, hey, Kelsey, do you want to move in with us? And I was like, sure. And that is how Vanessa, Kelsey, and Megan moved in to Placenta 32.
Oh, that's what we call our apartment.
We call our apartment Placenta 32. I don't really know how that all came about, but
me neither. It must have been a funny story because it's like funny.
I wish we remembered. Should have written it down, but yeah.
It's fun. So Placenta 32 is our apartment. We have a little apartment. Since then, Megan has moved out.
Yes, she has. Tragic.
In a tragic turn of events. I think I'm really grateful everything turned out the way it did.
No,
and we'll talk
so
about
too.
That a little bit later, but
you all will be shook.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay, so how? Okay, so we're roommates, right? We're roommates.
Yes, we're roommates.
I love
last
that.
I checked my rent.
I pay a portion. You pay a portion. I don't do my dishes. You do the dishes. It's great.
It's fine.
Okay, so
there's things I don't do.
What?
You take the trash out. We're like an old married.
What
couple.
Is it like to live together? Like, how would you explain our roommate relationship?
I feel like, personally, like, home is a place where I can just like take a load off and have a safe space. So when I'm there, I'm very mindless. And sometimes I forget, like when I come home and you're in the kitchen, I'm like, oh, hi. And then I go into my room. But I feel like we've created this like friendship where it's like we just kind of read each other's energy. So we know, like, if my door's closed and it's like 7 o'clock, I'm just dead to the world. Like,
yeah.
I'm in my room.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're in the living room and you're watching TV and you have your food, I know really not to talk to you because that's your time. But literally, like, we each have our own time.
I know. It's so true.
But then it's, like, when we both want to talk, then we're very much, like, in tune with each other's conversation.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't feel like there's any pressure for us to, like, feel like we have to, you know, discuss.
No, I totally get that.
I like it. It's very safe and comfortable.
No, I think so too. I think it's the best roommate relationship I've had. Because, I mean, when I first moved here, I lived with 4 random girls that I didn't really know, and nor did I have a good relationship with any of them besides Marissa. And then I lived with Megan. It's so weird to call her Megan. Whatever. She's going to listen to this.
She
I fucking
who
know.
She shall not be named.
Voldemort. No tea, no shade, also. But
no bitterness. We don't harbor that here.
That's just, like, not our energy.
We don't like the vibe of negativity here.
No.
Throw the stones of positivity. No, I think the other thing, too, is, like, you and I have never really gotten any kind of tiffs before. Like, we're very honest with each other. Mm-hmm. Like, if there's something, like, I don't know. I just don't feel like there's ever anything that you do where I feel like I have to, like, sit you down and actually have a conversation about it. And the one time we did was because of somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. So. And I think that was a big moment in our friendship. And I don't think either of us even realized it was going to be that big of a moment in our friendship.
Yeah.
But I think it was a really big turning point for us to, like, know that, like, because I feel like I can be an intimidating person sometimes. And, like, people are nervous to come to me with things a lot of times. And I think I'm one of the most understanding people as well. So, I don't know. I feel like I can be misunderstood, especially, like, in interdynamic relationships. So I think it was important for us to sit down and, like, have a conversation. We were like, listen, this isn't going well. Let's figure out, like, how we can improve. And
squash
since
the conflict.
Then, exactly.
Yeah.
And since then, I felt like we haven't had any issues, and I think our friendship has really developed. Mm-hmm. And I know that, like, we can – I think I know you so well now, like – and I think you know me so well that we can read each other and really know when we can say certain things to each other, when we can't, and we can be honest.
Yeah,
and,
like, on the way here, I knew you were stressed. Like, I was like, she is not good right now.
Yeah.
And I just let you ride that. And then when you mentioned it, and I was like, yeah, dude, you need to, like, you're fine. Everything's okay. And then you were good.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just think it's a healthy relationship. I just think, like, in any situation where you're talking to your girlfriends and venting to them about your relationship or venting to them about work or school or whatever, it just kind of opens up doors to see more of their character.
Yeah.
And I think because we weren't super close when we first moved in together, we got to grow in that. And that's, like, super special, especially when Megan moved out. Like, that was kind of a turning point.
Because it was either we were going to sink or swim. Like, there was no option.
Oh, my
gosh. It was, like, either me and you were going to, like, be besties or we were going to hate each other.
I know.
Like, it was kind of a big pivotal moment. And I think it was good. So, I guess we can talk – what should we talk about? Should we talk about – let's talk about friendships. Okay, so what would you define friendship to mean to you? Like, how would you explain friendship and what that means in your life right now?
It's so interesting to think about because I have seen friendships in such different seasons of life. Like, when you're in high school, you are desperate for – friendships because you're like, okay, I see these people every day, but it comes really easy. So it's not like you have to really make any effort because you see these people every day. If you hang out over the weekend, that's great, but you're guaranteed to see them on Monday at school. And then in college, it's like, okay, now I need to put myself out there. I need to make more friends. I need to get into communities. And I'm a Christian and my, like, faith community is really something that has been an intentional thing that I want to, like, lead with. As far as my friendships go, so in college, it was like, okay, now I need to find people who have the same kind of morals and values as me. And then in college, it was super easy to make friends because everyone's looking for friendships and, like, quality friendships. In high school, it's quantity. When you get older, it's quality. And then post-grad, it's, like, not easy anymore. Where do you meet people? If you work with people that you like to hang out with, that's, like, rare. And I have that, which is super special. But I don't know. I think I would define friendships as in seasons, but I've also learned that it's not the quantity of how many friends I actually have on, like, in my tribe, but it's more of, like, the quality of what they bring to my life and, like, what I can bring to theirs.
No, I totally agree. I think friendship evolves over time, and I think it's such a complex thing because I think when you view relationships in your life, I feel like people just view relationships as, like, a romantic partner, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think some of the most important relationships you have in your life are your friends because they are who ground you. So when you go in romantic relationships or you have this relationship with your family, you have this relationship with your social life, having, like, people you can go to and turn to is so important. And I think I've gone through a lot of different seasons with friends. And I think it was really hard for me to understand that, like, it's okay that, like, maybe friendships aren't supposed to last forever. Like, because, I mean, when you're in high school, you're attached to these people at the hip.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are the most important thing in your life because that's all you really have.
Yeah, that's all you know.
That's all you know. You know you're supposed to be really close friends and you're supposed to be best friends. You're supposed to put, like, labels on what these friendships are. And I think it's difficult to, like, transition out of that because I think I went through – a couple, like, I think, like, three main best friends in high school. Like, Megan, the girl who I lived with, we were best friends in eighth and ninth grade. And then I transitioned to having like not really a close friend. And then I had a really close friend junior and senior year. And then when we all transitioned to college, things got really messy because you want to maintain these friendships. And they say like, you should keep these friendships in college, right? Like you should keep your high school friends. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just so unrealistic. And it's realistic. Like for me, it was unrealistic because I'm from a really small town and that's all people know in that town. Yeah. So people only really know like the same friends that they had in high school. Mm-hmm. And if they don't leave, they stay friends with those mm-hmm. friends forever. You know, they end up becoming teachers at the high school. Like things don't really change much where I'm from. And so for all of my friends essentially left. There was only a couple people that stayed behind in the hometown, and we all left and went to different colleges and started like pursuing things we were interested in, making our own friends and own social lives. And so then to like turn back and like still nurture those relationships was really hard for all of us. And I can't speak for them, but at least it was for me.
Well, and it's like during that time, you are learning to be independent. You move away from home. If this is what you do, you move away from home, you're completely vulnerable to the setting that you're in because you're trying to figure out how to just be a person in this unnatural, uncomfortable state.
Totally.
So you're changing and you're evolving. And if you have these people who are also doing the same thing, if you're not on the same track anymore,
yeah,
you don't have anything in common. And it's really hard to try to foster that growth.
Oh, it's so hard. And I think it was hard for me to like lose those friends because I don't think that there's like a couple people that I'm still friends with, mm-hmm. Like acquaintances level almost at this point. Mm-hmm. It was really hard for me to lose those really close friends. Mm-hmm. It was like very difficult for me to just be like, oh, okay, like this is going to end now, essentially. Yeah. Like we're not going to put effort into each other. And I had one specific moment from my really close friend my junior and senior year where something happened in the friendship, like a big rift, where it was an uncomfortable situation for both of us and we didn't handle it very well. And she ended up not telling me how she really felt about something. And then eventually our friendship just completely ended. And it was like a friend breakup. Mm-hmm. It was like, she was like, we can't be friends anymore. And I was like, that's shitty, but okay. And we had to kind of move on. Mm-hmm. And it was a very difficult moment for me because I value my relationship so hard, like so much. I wear my heart on my sleeve. I'm very empathic, so I give a lot to my friends. And it was difficult for me to be like, oh, you don't want to be my friend anymore? Like, this says more about me than it says about that person. And I really turned internally and started to have to like evaluate everything within me, like evaluate who I was as a friend. And I think from that, I ended up like choosing who I was going to prioritize and value. And I think from there, I got better at being friends with people and eventually had another really big rift in a friendship that ended that friendship. And I could say like at this point, I am essentially starting new with my friendships from, I don't really have any friends from high school anymore. And those all kind of ended very dramatically, as I think is kind of natural because those are very intense relationships that you had from high school. Because when you say like your friendships from high school were more intense than your friendships that you have now.
Yeah, I would say that the friendships that I no longer have with the people in high school were the friendships I didn't think I would not have.
There you go. Maybe that's why it meant more to me.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, I think I'm always going to be friends with these people.
Yeah.
And then when you aren't, well, you're like,
That's the stereotype, you know, like, yeah. You have a crew of people that you go through high school with, and then you're like, oh, we're going to be friends till we're, like, in walkers, you know?
Yeah, you're going to be my bridesmaid.
Yeah.
And all of that kind of thing.
But I really think that those friends you find in college.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
I had, like, a little group of girlfriends in high school, and we met at church, and then, you know, we just saw each other in different seasons of life and different peaks and challenges and big growing points, like first boyfriends, first dates, you know, divorces, deaths, all kinds of stuff that you would think would attach that person to your life forever. But, you know, things change, and with that change comes growing out of friendships. And I think that is something that people forget, is that just like you can grow out a pair of jeans, you can also grow out of a friendship. And my most recent, I mean, I guess you could call it a friendship breakup, but I think more so it was just like we grew out of each other. And it was really hard for me in the beginning because I've never had a fallout in a friendship where I didn't understand why. Mm. I've had it happen once before, but I kind of just put that to bed and was like, this is for the best.
Yeah.
But this time it was like, I don't understand. Like, this is my person. And now this person isn't my person anymore. So who do I go to? And that was a really trying time in my life. And I'm sure for that person too. But now I think it's just kind of like you're different people. You might have some things in common, but you just outgrow them. And that's okay, because it doesn't mean you harbor bitterness. It's just like you're on to the next big thing.
But I think it is interesting. Like, I think it takes a lot of maturity to realize that you do grow out of friendships. Yeah. And it's not like either of you necessarily did something that like completely put the end of the friendship. It's not like one of you was like, you know what? F this. I'm not going to be her friend anymore.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Nobody does that intentionally. It's very rare that happens. But mm-hmm. I think you have people in your life, you grow with them, and then eventually there is no more growing that you can do because you're at different points.
Yeah. Well, and I think in the mix, like, as you're getting older, you know, if you're working, then you're focusing on what's next. If you're in a relationship, then you're focusing on that growth. And then, you know, you're meeting new friends in the process. And I think for me right now, I'm really learning to just slow down and look at my friendships in the quality that I have in them rather than the number of people that I have in my texting log, you know?
Totally.
And I think that has really given me a lot of peace to feel like I don't need to have 10 friends at a birthday party dinner. I can have like 3 of them who just love me unconditionally, and that's okay.
Yeah. I as I've talked about in this podcast, like, everything is relationship. And, mm-hmm. like, even, like, your friendships are something you have to nurture and something you have to grow through and something you have to learn and mature through. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's, like, one of the hardest, like, growing points that I'm at right now. I think I'm still in that, because I think this last year – so this was over a year ago. So I want to talk about this friendship that I had with Megan.
Megan.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Drake and Josh.
Like, I know.
Megan!
Okay, so her and I were very close, and it was almost like a sister relationship. So we were friends in high school. She had moved away. She and I ran into each other at school one day. We were both going to community college in San Diego. We ran into each other, and then from there, our friendship just totally blossomed again. And we were almost like sisters. Like, she was probably the closest relationship I've ever had in terms of a friend. Like, we just got each other. We were very much in tune with each other, and it was a very good relationship, but also a very negative relationship in a lot of ways, where, like, she needed me a lot in her life, and I kind of, like, gave into that, and I was, like, very much a giving person, and also I kind of let the relationship consume me in a lot of ways. And I look back now, and I kind of regret that, but I also just feel like you never really know when you're in a situation. So, like, even with a relationship, like a boyfriend you're dating, you know, we talk about these negative relationships that, as like, you could see if I was in a super toxic relationship, like with my last boyfriend, you knew.
Yeah.
And from the outside you knew, but I was so in it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't conceptualize and be objective about the relationship. Yeah. So that's how I'd consider this friendship as well. Mm-hmm. I couldn't be objective about the situation I was in. And as much as I loved her and I still love her as a person, I think that she is a good person, as everyone is, you know, like, we just weren't necessarily meant to be friends at the time that we were friends. Mm-hmm. And but we were friends for about 2 years, right?
Yeah.
It was a very, like, heavy friendship, but also a very good one. You know, like, she was my person, and it was, I can't even conceptualize it. I feel like it's just
weird to think about.
It's weird to think about and go back and be like, I was so close to this person and now I'm not. And, like, how do I, like, talk about it in a positive way and make it a constructive learning experience for me? Because I feel like a lot of the times the way I talk about it now is just like a objective, like, F it kind of
but
thing.
But, like, maybe that's what it is and that's all it needs to be.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that you can forgive the person in your heart and move on, but it's still a situation that was really crappy when it was happening. And if that's what it's labeled, then that's what it's labeled.
Yeah. So I think, like, the big turning point in our friendship was when we moved. So we lived together in a small one bedroom, like, in downtown San Diego. And she And I no longer could afford the rent because they raised our rent like $1,000. So we were like, all right, we got to go. And there was some weird situation. So she initially was going to stay and I was going to move out. So that's why I was in contact with Kelsey and we were going to move in together. And then Megan was like, no, like I need somewhere to live. Can I live with you guys? And I was like, girl, like we had some issues with finances before. And I was like, that can't happen. This has to be legit. You have to be on the lease. Like this has to be a very good like learning experience for you to learn how to like adult essentially. Mm-hmm. She moved in with us and a couple months into the lease, things just like weren't going well. Like we just kind of had some high tension. She had a boyfriend that lived at the apartment essentially with us. Yeah,
pretty much. And keep in mind, her and I had like shared a bedroom. So there was just boundaries were crossed where they should not have been crossed.
And Kelsey was very uncomfortable. And I was also going through a relationship at the time that was at its heaviest. Mm-hmm. So it was like literally where crap hit the fan.
There was just so much tension. Like you could literally cut it with a knife.
It was so bad. And like I tried to be on Kelsey's side. I tried to be on Morgan's side. I was kind of like this like weird like intermix. Oh, okay, so I tried to be on Kelsey's side. I tried to be on the other girl's side. And it was this weird kind of, like, divide. And I just was going through so much. It was so heavy on me. And I just wasn't in a good headspace. So
that's when you and I had that, like, really honest conversation. And you said, oh, well, this was November. You're like, oh, well, Megan's going to move out.
Yes. Oh, I had let you know.
Yeah.
Because she told me that she was going to let you know. And she never did. And so I let Kelsey know.
And our rent.
Yeah.
It was due in a week.
Yeah. No, this was this the beginning of December or was it going to be January? No,
it was right before Thanksgiving. It was right after Thanksgiving because I remember distinctively like thinking about the
conversation. She went off and went to go visit the boyfriend for a month in November.
Yeah, like 10, 15 days.
Yeah, and long time. Wasn't working during that time, so she didn't have any money to pay rent. And so she came back and was like, I have somewhere else to live. I'm going to go move there. And we're like, okay, but you have to pay next month's rent in order to get Kelsey to get on her feet to be able to pay the full amount of rent until we can find a new roommate. And she was like, okay, that's totally fine. Like, all good.
Yeah.
This is where it gets crazy. So she okay. So she decided that she was going to help us pay rent. It was all good. That was a good, like, it was fine. Mm-hmm. We were going to let her off the off the lease. She didn't have to do anything. She could essentially get her security deposit back, most likely if things went well and she paid on time and we were going to let her out. We were going to be like, okay, you need to go. You're going through things. Like it's fine.
Like it was going to be perfectly clear. And then it like was the first day of December. And then it came nothing. Like nothing was paid.
Second day, gotten like an email.
Yeah. I got an email on the 2nd of December and it was like past due bill. And I was like, what?
And it was her
this?
Half of the rent.
Yes. And it was her half. And so I had reached out to Vanessa and she was like, talk to Megan because I can't do this anymore. So I texted her and she was like, I have until the 3rd. I was like, okay, well, this is stressing everyone out. But then she had like, she was on her toes. So she was asking Vanessa to pay for it and then asking me to pay for it. And it was just like super irresponsible.
It was in the context of one day. So she had asked me to pay for the rent. She had asked Kelsey to pay for the rent. And then she told me she wasn't going to pay it.
Yeah.
And I was like, girl, this is like over $400. You're not leaving us like this.
Yeah.
Like, this is just not okay.
Not
if you
cool.
want out of the rent, you have to go now talk to the landlord because I'm not dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And your mom had co-signed. So it was going to fall on us anyways. So
such a mess.
Her mom called me. It was just such a mess. And
it was literally the conversation. We recorded it.
We had to record the conversation with the mom because she just like was not willing to help. And she thought we were trying to screw her out of money. And it was just, it was so rough.
It was
so rough.
So then Vanessa, being so gracious, decided to pay the half. And then Megan's mom was going to pay the other half. So like that was done. Everything was handled. She was off the lease, but then she wasn't going to get the security deposit back.
We decided, like, she can't get the security deposit back because it just wasn't fair.
No. So then all the furniture in our apartment was hers. So she took all of the furniture, and Vanessa and I were going to look for a new couch. And on the day that we were looking, we gave her until the 10th to move all her stuff out. She waited until the 10th to move all her stuff out.
All of her stuff out. And what she did was she unscrewed all of the light bulbs in our apartment.
We left. We left to go look at a couch. And like her boyfriend and his friend were there. And she was nowhere to be seen. I don't know where she was. Maybe she was like hiding in the bushes. But we left. And when we came back, none of our lights would turn on. in the bathroom or my room or the living room, and I was so confused. I thought our electricity went out.
Yeah.
So I go in the bathroom and I like shine my light on the light bulbs, and there were fingerprints on them. And come to find out later when we ran into him at a bar, she was the one who unscrewed them. Oh my gosh.
I remember. Okay. So we had an interesting roommate moment where she had to come back and sign an agreement in order for us to have her pay the rent. So we were like, you're going to come over. You're going to sign this agreement, basically a break of lease where you're not getting any of your stuff back. You can take your furniture and you have to be up at the 10th. You have to give us our keys by this day. Like I had written up this draft.
Yeah.
It was so official.
Very official.
So she came and she signed, and we had this like big blow up argument.
Oh my gosh. This was literally like,
You can explain it because I think I blacked out. Can you talk about it?
So this was the defining line of where I learned that there's two different kinds of people. And so Vanessa had looked at her because she had said, is there anything else? And Vanessa was shaking. And she looked at her and she goes, you have continually effed us and you continually keep effing us.
I said, you royally screwed us.
You royally screwed us. And then she was just, like, going on and on and on. And she was like, we've been so helpful, blah, 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 and just, like, reaming it.
And I remember I looked at her and I said, this is the end of our friendship.
And then, like, her face was just, oh, you could see the steam coming off of it.
Oh, my, we were both steaming.
And then Vanessa was like, Kelsey, is there anything you'd like to say? And I was like, we were so kind to you. Like, we gave you time and we were so helpful. Like, we were being so generous. And that was
basically, you like had tears in your eyes and you were nervous and I was just like steaming, and there was so funny, like the differences of who we are. I was like, you royally screwed us, and Kelsey's like,
you were so
You know that I would support you, like whatever you need.
If you needed me to carry the couch down the stairs, I would do it. Oh my god,
it was just so interesting. But anyway, so after that, I think there was a big like lull for me. Like it was really hard for me to then reach out to friends, and it was like it made me really nervous to be a person again. Like in terms of friendships, like it really took a lot for me to put myself out there and even develop a relationship with you was like difficult for me because I was like, everyone just wants to take advantage of me. Like, everyone wants to take advantage of me, and I give too much, and, like, I need to be more cautious of who I'm letting in my life, and it was really hard for me to get back out there, essentially, in terms of friendships. And I was also dealing with this very toxic relationship that ended a few months after that, and it was just a really rough time in my life. But I think to bring it back to, like, us, I think our relationship – really truly helped me in that time. I think I learned what a good friend was, and I think like you were able to see me through so many different stages.
Yeah, I definitely think that's been like the really cool part and the really unique part about our friendship is like I watched you go through that and like lose someone who was like basically your whole life, and then lose another person who was also another big part of your life in a span of like a month and a half, and then losing a job. Like there was just so much that you were going through. And I think being able to watch you go through all that pain, but then still see how much you were trying to go through that while also rising above it was really empowering. And I think just being able to kind of see the glow in all of that, like literally, if you don't believe in a relationship glow up after a breakup, it is real, because literally within like 4 months, maybe even 3 months of this breakup and then losing a friendship, Vanessa, like she got an internship, she got a job at Cycle Bar, like all of these things she was just like thriving in. And it was so crazy to watch how she wasn't going to allow things that hurt her to like keep her down. And I think being someone who lives with her, but also someone who like sincerely cares about her, it made me really proud. And I got to see all the transitions that she was going through and, you know, kind of teach her my experiences, because we're 3 years apart. So like I've been through the ringer with different things. So it was just a really good growing experience. And I think that just says in general, like you can come out of things stronger.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, girl.
Because I think, like, the fact that you, like, verbalized those things to me meant so much to me during that time, because I think it was hard for me to see that I was growing. Mm-hmm. As much as I knew I was, it was, like, difficult for me to sit down and be like, okay, you're doing a good job. Like, I was still mentally not where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
But, like, Kelsey's, like, affirmation and telling me that I was, like, this, person that she was admiring and like could be proud of was really important for me. Mm-hmm. And even I remember my parents would do the same thing. They were like, you know, Vanessa, you just went through shit. Like,
yeah,
I would describe my life as a trash chute at the time, where I was just like continuously going down. And then like I was hovering over the trash chute and then I just like fell in.
Yeah.
And I was just going through so much, and I was also having medical problems at the time, and just like it was crazy. It was like such a whirlwind of a time of my life, and I think like being able to come out of it and be like, all right, like I got this. Like if you let go of those negative things, I think that was the biggest lesson for me.
Well, yeah,
letting go and being okay with letting go, and finally just like removing these toxic negative things out of my life only brought me good things.
Yeah,
like exactly everything just turned around, and it was exciting, and having you as a friend to be like supporting me through that was so beneficial. And I think your life experience has helped me because you've given me these like tidbits of information that like I hold very close to my heart now, and I admire about you. And so I can see the things that like I want to see in myself that you have, and I can be like, okay, she does this, so maybe I can learn from her and grow from her in that way. And I think I have, and I think I've only done better because of our relationship.
So like listen to that and like take that as an example of what you would want in a friendship.
True.
And like that, I mean, nobody's perfect. Friendships aren't perfect. But I think when you are in a season of your life where you're seeking people that can grow you instead of deteriorate you, that's what you have to look for. It's like finding a tribe of people that are willing to walk beside you in life through the thick of it, and then through the celebrations. And those are the people that are worth waiting for and really pursuing.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think that, like, that wraps up the episode, essentially.
Yeah, it does. Drum roll. Yep.
I think that I'm glad we could sit down and reflect, because I think it's difficult to express fully to like people, you know, like a microphone, how a relationship affected your life, and how you're growing and you're learning and you're evolving. But I think we did, you know, a good job of being able to conceptualize that.
And y'all are not alone in the whole like, I'm lonely, I have no friends, because you do. You just have to find the right people.
And you have to be okay with the fact that it takes time.
Yes.
And you have to be critical, because I think that that's one thing I've learned lately is being critical and knowing that, like, it is okay to end a friendship. You can either, you know, let it slow fade, you know, kind of grow out of it, and you both move on. But it's okay if you have to turn around and be like, no, I physically or, like, emotionally can't be in this friendship. That's okay. You have to be able to be mature about it. Express that to someone, even if it may hurt them. Like, you have to do what's best for you. We're in our 20s, right? Like, this is what this podcast is about. Being in your 20s, growing, learning how to be mature and an adult, and talk about the experiences we're having. And I think if I could offer you any advice, it's okay to be critical. It's okay to feel lonely, and you don't have to search for people to fill that void. Mm-hmm. You should search for people who add to you.
Yeah, and I mean, in the time of trying to figure out who your friends are, like, focus on yourself too. Do some self-reflection and decide, like, what's going to be good for me at the end of the day to benefit them better as they're walking in their stages of life. Like, you know, it's kind of funny, because it's in the same sense being beneficial in, you know, dating. It's also like you have to kind of put that same kind of commitment into a friendship. So if I can leave you with anything, it's that. Have some self-reflection, pick apart the people that you have in your life right now, and focus on them, and other people will come along, and you'll know exactly what you're looking for.
100%. So thanks for coming on, Kelsey.
Thanks for having me and letting me blab.
This is the first time recording in this studio. So
it's actually so fun. You can hear yourself talking through these microphones. I kind of love it.
I love it. Okay, so thanks for listening to the On the Rocks podcast. I will catch you guys next time. I upload on Thursdays biweekly. That might be changing soon. I don't know, but it's definitely on Thursdays. So make sure you guys follow the Instagram. It's ontherocks.pod. You can follow me at Vanny Rock to find any and all information about what this podcast is, who we are, what's up, and also KCR College Radio on Instagram you will also be able to find me on there. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you guys next time.
Bye.